Hello and welcome to Animates, telling stories of animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded by 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Katie Brooks. In this time of coronavirus, we are all restricted in our movements. But how are people with dogs to increase their mobility coping? In our program today, I'll be checking in on a few guide dog handlers to hear about their experiences. My first guest is Katie Best. I apologise for the quality of my audio during this interview.
My guide dog name is Benny. I have had him for just over 7 years, so January 2013. Normally, when we're not in lockdown, we work at the Apple Store in Miranda, not far from where I live. We go there 4 days a week, and we do stuff in the backstage area, so kind of where all the stock is. I answer the phone, book appointments for customers to come in and get their devices looked at, that kind of thing. Benny mostly just sleeps under the desk once he gets there.
And when you're not at work, are you active out going places, doing things?
Yeah, going into the city, meeting up with friends, going for walks and stuff like that.
Obviously, a guide dog is a trained working dog. He wants to be out. How is he handling the lack of stimulation?
We can still go out, just we can't interact with people. So we try to go out every day or every other day just for a walk. Our local bakery is still open. You can't eat in there, but you can take away. So we usually will walk up there and get something. It's a bit difficult trying to vary the route. There's not that many options of where to walk around where I live. So it's usually just kind of up to the shops and back. I just try to vary which way we go, whether we go up the hill and go the long way or not. And I'm also lucky that I have a very nice next door neighbour who's willing to take him out. He's off work at the moment. Just let him be a normal dog off harness.
You don't really necessarily have a lot of space at your place, do you?
No, I don't have a backyard. A couple of weeks ago, Benny had a lot of pent-up energy, and so upstairs in my house, there's a short hallway with my room at one end and the spare room at the other end, and he was just racing back and forward. I was hiding around the corner in the spare room, and I'd jump out and say boo, and he'd run back and forward for about, I don't know, 20 minutes. He just wore himself out. But I've noticed he has a lot more pent-up energy than he would normally have if we were going to work 4 days a week.
Do you find you're doing that sort of thing, playing games with him and that kind of thing a lot more?
Trying to, yeah. He likes to play tug-of-war and that kind of thing. We were going to a local dog park with a friend up until a few weeks ago, but that's kind of not really advised at this point in time, so we've had to stop doing that as well. He only got to go a couple of times, but he really enjoyed it.
A lot of pet owners have said having to get up and feed the dog and walk the dog, that's still providing a bit of structure in your day. Are you finding that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Apple stores are all closed, but we've got training and all that kind of stuff, so that kind of gets me up as well. But yeah, getting up and feeding him and say, all right, I have to go out today. We haven't been out for a couple of days. When I have my days off work, I make sure I try to get him out of the house and out for a walk, and it's good for me as well. So we try to do that, but some days now that I've got, like, I'm working my work hours at home with training and stuff, some days I just don't get the chance to do it.
But he needs breakfast and dinner every day, doesn't he?
Yes, exactly. And he doesn't let me forget that.
How are you coping with this new world we all find ourselves living in?
It was really hard to start off with, like about 6.5 weeks ago when my workplace shut down. And I said this to quite a few people. I felt like we were living in an apocalyptic novel where the world was kind of ending. And I used to love reading that kind of book, but now I'm not so sure now that I'm living it. But I guess I'm kind of used to it now. I think we all probably have good days and bad days. It's just the idea of not having so much choice of what you can do and not being able to say, oh, I'm going to go meet up with some friends or, you know, go to work. But we've been having a lot of online meetings with work and that kind of thing. So I feel like I've still got my work colleagues kind of around and we're all checking in with each other to make sure how we're going and that kind of thing. It's not ideal, but I think I'm doing okay most of the time.
I imagine that Benny being there the whole time, he's quite good company for you.
He's just happy to be with me. I think he probably did want to start off with, why don't we go to work anymore? Did you get fired, Mum? You know, he's good company.
I've met your guide dog before. He's quite a sociable animal. Do you think he's missing interacting with other people, not just you?
I think so, yeah. He doesn't understand, like, a couple of times we've run into people we know up at the shop, and he's like, can't we go and say hello? Why do we have to stand so far away? Labradors by nature are quite sociable animals, and he doesn't really get this whole social distancing thing. He's getting better with it, I think, but I think it's probably just very confusing for him.
Have you had to do any additional training with him or get any additional support?
When you have a guide dog that's over 8, the organisation that we're with, Guide Dogs New South Wales ACT, they like you to have a follow-up every 6 months just to see how the dog's going once it starts to head towards retirement. We had a follow-up about a month ago, and the instructor was staying far away the whole time. He was just observing us walking up to the shops and then coming back just to see how Benny's working, how we're still working together. And the instructor stayed out of sight the whole time, and then when we got back to my place, he came up to talk to us, but he's standing really far away. Now I've heard that they're not doing any face-to-face trainings.
Is there any advice or encouragement you would offer to any other guide dog users out there who might be listening to this?
I suppose it depends on your dog. Just try and keep things as normal as you can for the dog. I know it's difficult in this situation, but if you are able to get out, if you've got someone who can walk the dog, or if you're able to get out and take it for a walk and stuff, I think they're mostly happy if they've got some kind of a routine. They're with us, but it is good to kind of not let things overwhelm us, because the dogs can certainly sense that.
That was Katie Best telling us about life with her guide dog, Benny. My next guest is Kathy Egan.
My guide dog is 2.5 years old. His name is Leon. He's a white Labrador, and he's very, very cheeky. So once I got Leon, changed my whole world. I was a cane user prior because I had retired a previous guide dog. We travelled interstate quite a lot. We went to Queensland, Victoria, South Australia, had opportunities to go up and down the coast. So Leon was very familiar with travel, discovering new areas. So we had a full active life, as well as I was able to go back to volunteer work. I work for St. Vincent de Paul, and we go out and visit people who are financially strapped. I also work for Red Cross, and I make a phone call a day to a person who's isolated at home, and just to make sure that they're okay and connect with a supervisor. I also had opportunities to work in a community centre and meet other people. And of course, Leon had all of that social interaction as well.
How are you coping with the current restrictions on your life?
At first, it was a big shock, and it was very restrictive. Some of my volunteer work immediately got cut off, and some of it got restricted. Also, I am at very high risk medically, so I had to self-isolate pretty much. I do go out a little bit. Some of the things I go out with a support worker, because I find social distance very hard to do. But I am very, very careful and conscious that I can't go out a lot. Even though there are some things I can do for myself, I tend not to. Like, for instance, I need to shop online, which is something that I'm not familiar with. I've had to change things over. I noticed that Leon's behaviour was changing. He was getting like a couch potato, pretty much. So I had to intervene with assistance from an independent guide dog instructor, and I wanted to know what I could do. So I've introduced specific games for him, a little bit more than usual.
What kind of games do you play?
Some of the things that I might do are also part of training as well. I play hide and seek behind doors or in a cupboard or something, and he has to come and touch my hand and sit, and then he gets a treat. I also do things like get him to find a chair for me, and he just finds that really exciting because he gets a treat for that. I also might bury some of his dog food, which is just dry kibble, in some newspaper, and he has to go and scrummage to find it. That's just giving him natural sense of sniffing and smelling and fossicking around, which is what dogs naturally do. So I have adapted quite a lot of things like that. I do play with him with some of his toys. They squeak, but human beings can't hear them.
That's probably a clever way of doing it.
Yeah, and it doesn't annoy the neighbours. When I go out with a support worker and I do free run him, I get him to chase and touch me. Same with the support worker. So he's literally running from one end of the park to the next, from me to the support worker and backwards. Lots of fun for him and great exercise. And also, I've been very privileged. I spoke to my local vet, which is 1.5 blocks away from my home, because of the situation we're in, has got a little doggy daycare set up. And I'm very fortunate. NDIS assists me there. And I can drop Leon off on a Tuesday and a Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I don't pick him up till 4 o'clock. And he gets an opportunity to play with some dogs. And on Thursdays, he plays with puppies. And he interacts with a lot of the staff, which gives him stimulation with humans and interacting with other dogs, because our dog parks are closed. And that's really important, that I'm looking after his welfare and that he's still being a happy dog and experiencing that, because otherwise it's kind of like putting a 2.5-year-old guide dog, fully qualified, ready to go, but putting him into semi-retirement.
They select these dogs for their eagerness to want to learn and see things and do things and be out there, and a working dog wants to be active.
Absolutely. But he's used to going out and interacting with people. Even though he's on duty, he's used to lots of people around, and so being pretty much locked in is not enough stimulation for him. And so I've got to find alternates.
Now, you mentioned that you go out with support workers. Have you found getting support workers has been any more difficult at this time?
I personally haven't, because I've set up a team of support workers, and when this first happened, I approached each and every one of them and I said to them, look, do you wish to work with me? And if we do, how can we do this? And we set a program up that we text each other prior to the shift to make sure that I'm well, make sure that they're well and their family's well. And if that's not the case, we change the time or the date or whatever, and we do that for sensible reasons. And we also have a meet and greet. We do the hand sanitising, and at the end of the shift we do the same. That's really important for both parties, and I do have masks should anybody wish to use masks, but we're following the protocols of the health department, which says not needed.
Have you found that all these things you're doing with Leon, playing all these games and just the simple getting up in the morning and feeding him, is providing you with some structure in your day?
For me, it was really important that I have a structure. I've done other social things virtually, and other things I've done it face-to-face with social distance in place. But having Leon has been absolutely fantastic. It has definitely helped me with my isolation. And also, I make it a point to get up in the morning first thing, and around about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, you'll find Leon and I going out for a walk. He's in full harness. He's working. I change the walks around, but I always end up in a park. And then I allow him quality time to just sniff and smell the grass and be a dog on a lead. And that's his reward. Then he'll have breakfast.
He gets out and about and gets quite a lot of exercise by the sound of it.
Generally speaking, he gets around about 5 kilometres a day. Yes.
Wow. That's impressive.
I just find that's important for me to set my day right. I live in a unit and I don't have a backyard.
Would you say that Leon provides more than mobility support for you? Do you feel he provides an emotional support as well?
I've always said that about guide dog. This is my third guide dog. Every single dog that I've had has been so different. But every single dog has helped me tremendously, being a guide dog and mobility and getting out and about. But the other flip side is my guide dog has become so important for me emotionally and stabilising me, allowing me to feel comfortable and face the world head on. And we're facing it together.
Do you have any advice for any listeners out there who have guide dogs or other service dogs, and what you would recommend that they can do to help cope in this time with their dog?
I would highly recommend that people do approach a couple of vets. Certainly a lot of companies are being very flexible and looking at alternate ways of delivering their service. And this is just an extension of that, really, in the vet world. The other thing is that I would definitely recommend that start to think of making some form of their guide dog training part of their everyday as fun. An example of what I'm talking about is on bin night, when you've got a lot of the large Otto bins out, you could use those as an obstacle and get the dog to go through the obstacle. And if you keep that up during this time, you will not end up with a dog that's really behind in its training. The good news is it's not going to last forever.
That was Kathy Egan letting us know how she and her guide dog Leon are managing with social isolation. You are listening to Animates on the RPH Network. I'm Katie Brooks. My next guest is Anthony Marr. Listeners may remember I spoke to his wife Chloe last year about her service dog Elsie. If you would like to catch that interview again, or any other we have done, including this program, they are all available on our website. www.animates.org.au www.2rph.org.au/listen/animates. That address again is www.2rph.org.au/listen/animates. Now here's Anthony.
Currently on my third dog. His name is Yorick. I've only had him coming up for 2 years. He's not enjoying being isolated at the moment. He's kind of going through his own sort of depression, I guess you could say, because he's not doing the work he's used to. Had a bit of rough and tumble at the moment. He's one of the other dogs, so he's a bit happy for now.
What kind of stuff did you guys do together before the whole COVID-19 thing started? What were you
going to work? So we were jumping on buses, one bus from home to meet another one to catch the second one out to work.
What kind of work do you do?
Working as a remedial massage therapist. So usually he's just asleep in the clinic room and helping me go to and from getting clients.
That's not exactly a job you can do while social distancing, really, is it?
No, you can't. So massaging, you can't keep the 1.5 metre distance. So we've had to stop work. I haven't worked for about a month now because of that.
You're a bit of a fitness freak. You like a good run and exercise and that kind of thing, don't you?
Yes, I do. As most people know, all the park runs and gyms and things have all been stopped. So I've sort of had to find other ways to do all that. So whether it's running with just a person still, I can still do that with a support worker, or setting up my own equipment at home. Even Yorick likes to run at park run too, so he's kind of missing his 5Ks with running with someone else. It's really hard to try and keep fit and keep sane.
Are you having any trouble getting support workers at this time?
Not really. Luckily, I've been able to keep the ones I normally have, but had to cut down on how many hours of support we can use at the moment for their safety. And because with Chloe being autoimmune suppressed with her rheumatoid arthritis, we've got to limit the amount of contact that we have with other people and the outside world, basically.
Yes.
So I don't possibly bring it home.
You feel that Yorick is having trouble just not being active. So what kind of things are you guys doing to cope with that?
He loves his playing fetch and tug of war and stuff, but I also at least once a week have a support worker and I take him out for about a 6K walk by the time you do it both ways. So that normally helps him relax a little bit, and a friend occasionally takes him out for a run at the beach, trying to keep him somewhat sane by doing that.
You've noticed a distinct change in his behaviour, have you?
He's just a little bit more wanting to constantly just play and a little bit more excitable is the best way to put it. He's sort of just wondering what's going on, why aren't we going anywhere? For him, it's just, hey, we're supposed to be doing all this. Why are we so quiet? Why am I just sitting still and not going anywhere? And just trying to also remind people that our dogs don't know social distancing and making sure if we are out, keep social distancing themselves and don't come and approach us.
Another thing that people have said is that they found that their dogs miss contact with other dogs. Have you found that?
We've got my retired guide dog here as well, so he can play with her a bit. And I've got a friend who's also got a retired guide dog that takes theirs out for a run and takes mine out sometimes to play with that dog as well.
Have you found that just the structure of having to look after a pet has helped you as well with, you know, nothing else to do in your day?
Yeah, it gives me something else to do by playing ball and, you know, just brushing him and hanging out with him a bit, playing his tug-of-war game. Keeps me a bit more sane because it's not just being stuck interacting with just Chloe and having nothing else to talk about. Because, you know, you've got to feed him and look after him, so it makes you have to do something else.
It's interesting for most of our listeners who are in Sydney to realise that all this social distancing and everything is going on in country towns as well.
It's good to see that other people have still got the challenge with it as well, other than just Sydney. Our cases up here in Port Macquarie haven't been as high as some of the Sydney areas, luckily, but we've still had a few cases.
For any of our listeners who may have guide dogs or other kinds of service dogs, what kind of advice would you offer them?
To sort of think how best they can still possibly give their dog some exercise, and maybe if they can socialise with another dog without having to be in contact with too many people, maybe have a friend take their dog out with their friend's dog and just play with them as much as you can, spend as much time with them. And if you can do the odd destination or walk to the shops or just pick something up, just something to keep their brain thinking. That's all our dogs like to do, is they can't help but problem solve and think. So we can do a simple destination, even if it's just once a week. just to get them out and get them thinking and using their brain.
Another person I interviewed said that her main problem was she couldn't really vary the route that much. Have you found that that's helped if you've got somewhere to go, that you go different ways if you can?
If I can, yeah, I will. But at the moment, my route's already been forced to be changed because we've got a bit of construction happening on the usual travel route. So, yeah, they've kind of made the change for me.
You, in the past, had had quite a lot of additional training from guide dogs, but you found you can't have that now?
Yes, that's right. Because we're not allowed to have them in contact with us, and they're not allowed to sit in their car and have an ear pod in or like a headphone in and just listen to their instruction in your ear and while they're watching you from a distance, because that is not meant to be safe for them if something happens, in, like if a car pulls out on you or something like that. So they've got safety reasons for that. So that's made it tricky to learn new destinations, which has now had to stop because they can't do video or audio ones while there's someone talking in your ear while you're doing a training session. So that's made that a little bit tricky.
So have you found that's restricting you further, or were you just coming up with all these places you want to be able to go once you can again?
I've got other places I want to do once I can, but it's made it tricky if I want to go to a local shopping centre at the moment because I can't actually get into one at the moment by myself without a support worker right now.
That was Anthony Marr talking about his guide dog Yorick and life in Port Macquarie. Our final guest today is Geordie Howell, who will tell us a bit about what life is like down in Melbourne.
So I have had three guide dogs, and now I have Vadrick, and I've had Vadrick for 2.5 years. And he is really keen and lively and bouncy and fun and cheeky, and he's quite clever and likes to show me how clever he is. I have several jobs. One of them is to transcribe music into Braille with Vision Australia, so that's public transport, bus and train into Kooyong 2 days a week. Another job is to teach Braille music and music to kids who are vision impaired, and that's a taxi into work and then some public transport home. I am a classical singer, so I rehearse with a choir on Thursday evenings and also on a Sunday morning and sometimes a Sunday evening. So that's public transport around the place, and then some shopping and things on other days. And then, of course, the social stuff that I was doing, going to see friends or going to see a concert or going to see my mum and dad. So didn't have a set routine every day, but we were always out doing something. And then there's the residential walks that we did just to fill in some time if we weren't actually going out.
I'm guessing a lot less of that is happening now.
Much less. All my work is from home now, so my transcription work is done all over the phone. My teaching work is done via Zoom, as is private teaching by the phone. I don't go to church or sing for church at the moment. I've done some pre-recording. Any singing practice I do is all at home. The only work I'm doing for the dog is a residential walk around my local area. There's a couple of routes that I can do. And I do see Mum, and she's across the road and around the corner, so not very far at all. No public transport and no other work for him.
So how are both you and Vadrick coping?
He is coping quite well in terms of sleeping a lot more than he normally would. But when we're out and about on our residential walks, he's becoming more distracted because, being quite a clever dog, he's used to quite a lot of city work. He's going to Lush, going to Hague, JB Hi-Fi. It's all my favourite shops. But now he's just walking along pavements and not finding it as challenging. So I'm finding him a little bit more distractible and having different challenges in our work. Although he can sleep and he can be lazy, he really loves going out and working. And just before, probably an hour and a half ago, we had a good walk and really, really pulling into the harness, and he could tell he could just really would love a run in the park or something just to let out a bit of steam.
Are you finding you have to do things to try and stimulate him in other ways then?
My guide dog instructor has recommended a few things. Doing some obedience around the house, maybe getting him to find chairs. Do a little bit of whistle training, which is something I'd like to incorporate into his work anyway. So I've been asked to take the dog whistle and just at random intervals during the week just blow the whistle and have him come to me and reward him with a bit of food, which he gets excited about. Little tasks like that and lots of play.
That leads nicely into another question I was going to ask is, have you had to receive any extra training to deal with this current situation, and how's that worked?
At the moment, we're not receiving any face-to-face training with our guide dog instructors, but the other week I had a follow-up via the phone. So the instructor had a form in front of him and asked me a few questions about how I felt Vadrick's work was going, and then he gave me some verbal strategies that I could do, because there's one particular road crossing that we're having issues with at the moment. He's not that keen to go to the crossing, so we talked about incorporating a bit of food and positive reinforcement training, and so it's all over the phone at the moment. And we've tentatively scheduled a face-to-face follow-up in 2 months, and hopefully we can do that, but otherwise it will be another phone session.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just email or text my instructor if I have any further problems, and we can have another conversation. Maybe do some video work as well. That's another thing that they've suggested could be an option.
The level of contact you're having so far is working for your current needs?
At the moment, but there definitely is one particular crossing and some work in parks to do with recall that I would really like an instructor physically to be there and to see Vedric's response.
Yeah.
When other dogs and other distractions are present, because that's when he just loses his head and doesn't care about me at all.
One of the main problems I personally find with the whole everything's closed, you can't go anywhere and do anything, is a lack of structure in my life. Do you find just simply having a dog to look after helps with that?
I do, actually. I think it makes me get out every day for a walk unless it's absolutely pouring with rain.
You do live in Melbourne.
I do live in Melbourne. And I do have a flight of stairs, so I have been running up and down my stairs as a bit of a workout. But yeah, it does make me get out at least once a day and get up relatively early, although if I have a choice, I tend to sleep in if it's Saturday or a Sunday at the moment. So whereas normally on a Saturday, I would be doing a park run, not with a dog, with some volunteer guides who are just fantastic. And I really miss getting out and doing my own exercise. That's really good for mental and physical health.
Obviously, we're having a lot less social contact. Do you find that the dog acts as somewhat of an emotional support for you, as well as, you know, the mobility support that he's there for?
He does, actually. I have my brother living here just at the moment as well, so I think it's quite nice for my brother and I to have a dog running around the place. I also go and see my mother, who has my retired guide dog, and so it's just lovely having the two dogs and the cat, and you don't really feel lonely at all when you've got a dog in the house with you. Especially mine is quite vocal and quite playful. So, yeah, it definitely keeps me amused, which is lovely.
What kind of advice would you offer listeners out there who've got these service dogs that are stuck at home like the rest of us?
I would suggest that there's no need to panic. That dogs are pretty flexible. They should be fitting into your way of living, even if that way of living changes. And that, you know, they'll always accept a cuddle or a play if things are getting a bit stressful. And as long as they're getting a bit of regular exercise, they'll sort of slot back in, I'm sure, when life goes, quote, back to normal, unquote, if it ever does. I feel very positive and very certain that the dogs will pick up the slack when things can be back to normal again.
Anything else you'd like to add that I've forgotten to ask you about that you think might be interesting and relevant?
The thing I didn't say was my dog over Easter, my retired guide dog, ate some cooked chicken bones. That was pretty scary.
Yes.
So it kind of makes you realise just how much you really treasure them, and when you have gift of extra time with your dogs, they're just such an important part of your life. Particularly, I don't have kids, so the dogs kind of...
That was Geordie Howell talking about living with her guide dog, Vadrick, bringing us to the end of this episode of Animates. I'm extremely grateful for the enthusiasm of all my friends who offered to be a part of this program. I hope I have been able to give you an insight into the variety of experiences of people living with their service dogs at this time. And if you are also one of these people, maybe it has helped you feel like you are not alone. This program was recorded by 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Katie Brooks. We will continue doing our best in difficult circumstances to bring you new material, so please tune in again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.